Well, on Wednesday morning, we've been hit with the injury bug. We'll tell you all about it right now on Fantasy Football Today, the podcast. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, and Heath Cummings. Where's Jamie again?
Jamie is currently in Indianapolis, Indiana, getting ready for the joint practice between the Bears and the Colts.
Lovely city, that Indianapolis.
Never been there.
Jamie,
neither have I.
Oh, I have. I have.
I bet it's a great town.
I'm not
messing around. I bet it's a really great town.
As someone from the Midwest, I'd guess it's my type of place.
Me too. I'm from the Midwest as well.
I'm not, and I liked Indianapolis. Very fun.
What city don't you like, Adam?
The city in Alabama that I stayed at some motel and there were bugs all over the place. That
Mobile?
No.
Birmingham?
It was like Opa-locka or something like that.
Okay, we said city, not town.
Oh, I just offended somebody from that little town. City I don't like.
I will have
to get back to you on that. But I'll tell you one of my favorite cities, St. Louis, Missouri.
My gosh.
You don't like? Oh, you're...
he's a Kansas City guy. So. Very territorial in the show me state.
Yeah, it's a good city. I don't like Miami. I think Miami is just an awful, awful city. And I mean that sincerely. Okay. Anyway,
really?
Yeah, the traffic is terrible. The layout of the city is awful. The drivers are crazy. It's just not a good, no. Tight ends are terrible, guys. I wanted to start, before we talk about Kelvin Benjamin and LeSean McCoy and DeMarco Murray and Tom Brady, tight ends are terrible.
Okay, just to be clear, DeMarco Murray is not hurt, right?
Not yet.
Okay.
before we talk about that, I have noticed a theme in my drafts. I hate my tight end almost every draft I do, and I'm wondering if I should start taking one earlier. Where are you guys falling on that subject?
I almost always end up getting a tight end late, and I don't care. I know what I have to pay for if I'm going to have a tight end that I feel good about. And it's funny that I'm saying this because we're about to review a draft where I took a tight end with my first round pick. Hashtag spoiler alert.
Yes,
but
you did.
In most drafts, when I'm not really seeking out a tight end, I end up with Zach Ertz, Tyler Eifert, Kyle Rudolph, Antonio Gates, Dwayne Allen. Sometimes Julius Thomas.
I don't ever hate my tight end. I usually just take good tight ends. And so I think.
Oh, well, good
well,
for
yeah,
you.
You know, take good tight ends, you feel better about your tight ends.
But that's the thing, Heath. You usually do invest an earlier pick in tight ends.
Right.
And how are you feeling about that? Do you feel like that is you are sacrificing depth at other positions too much, or are you comfortable with that strategy?
I'm very comfortable with that strategy.
And the tight end you usually take is Kelce or Olsen? Usually not so
No,
much
no, no. I think I have equal shares in mock drafts this year of Gronk, okay. Graham, and Kelce.
So you specifically, is this part of your plan to seek out one of those three tight ends?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. So it's something that you're actually conscious of and looking to do in
yes.
all of your drafts.
I've taken Gronk in the first many times.
You took him fourth overall in a standard league yesterday.
Yeah. I like him more in a standard league than I do in a PPR league.
Took him fourth overall, huh? That was a 10-team
explain
league.
The logic of that to me, because I'm curious.
I don't know that necessarily. I mean, what's his biggest value? What's the thing Gronk does better than anyone else?
Spike footballs.
Touchdowns.
Yes.
Well, when does he spike a football?
Right. Touchdowns are minimized slightly in a PPR league because you get points for receptions, and you don't get extra points for touchdowns.
I disagree, because every single touchdown in a PPR is worth 7 instead of 6 for a receiver.
Right.
A receiving touchdown, I should say.
Right. But
that's not minimizing the
I think for a guy that might have, if a guy has 70 catches and 13 touchdowns, another guy has 70 catches and 8 touchdowns, mm-hmm. PPR closes the gap between the guy with 70 and 8 and the guy in 70 and 13.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But, okay, first of all, you took him fourth overall in a 10-team league.
It was a 10-team league. Yeah, there's going to be depth for days.
Right, exactly. In a 12-team league, would you have done that?
I think I did it once just to see how it worked out, and it sucked. So, no, I probably wouldn't do that either.
All right, and so in that case, you'd probably try and hope for Graham in round 2 or round 3.
I've not taken Jimmy Graham before round 3.
Okay.
Ever.
And I don't mind that, and right. I almost would do the same thing. I almost drafted Graham in that same 10-team league, but I like Frank Gore better.
Right.
I'm just crazy about Gore, so I took him over Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Kelce, I'm looking for him more in round 5 and round 4, and I just draft with so many people, like you, Heath. That take him early.
But I still feel like
in yesterday's draft, obviously you weren't going to get him.
Right.
You had Gronk. I don't think you wanted Gronk and Kelce. Maybe I've seen you do that before. He went 41st in a 10-team league.
That's too soon.
His ADP is
taking him around 48.
It's interesting. I think in a 10-team league, and then we'll get back to whatever you're talking about, Adam. in a 10-team league, I think the specific players that carry value as well, they're special. Mm-hmm. They're like more special to their position than others.
Right.
I almost think that their ADP stays static in a 10-team league. Whereas players that are, you know, receiver A looks a lot like receiver B, receiver C, mm-hmm. those guys all take a little bit of a dive.
Well, I did take Aaron Rodgers at 24th in that
league.
He's
a special, I'm using air quotes, special type of player.
Very special.
In any fantasy league, but in a 10-team league, I think you try and get as many of those guys as you can.
Well, Kelsey's ADP is 56th overall, so that's much better value for him. It is going up, though. Greg Olsen's actually ahead of him at 53rd overall, basically neck and neck. His value is going up as well. All right, this is the last thing I wanted to say about drafting Gronk or Graham in a 12-team league. There is a point toward the middle of round four if, let's say, DeAndre Hopkins is off the board, and now with the Kelvin Benjamin's injury, depending on the severity of that, he's going to be going even earlier, Hopkins. If all the running backs I like are off the board and maybe Joik Bell or Andre Ellington is the best option or TJ Yeldon, there's a point in the middle of round four where I no longer like my fourth round pick. I no longer feel great about it.
It's like 45th overall, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, it's a dead zone.
And
it's like when you're driving through the countryside, and you lose a call.
Yes, exactly. It might be even earlier because of the Foster injury pushing people up, the Kelvin Benjamin injury pushing people up potentially. My point is, if you think you can get a good player in round four, one you really like, then it makes sense to take Gronkowski in round one. But if you're picking early in round one and you don't think you can get somebody in round four, I'm not willing to pull the trigger on Gronkowski. That's kind of where I'm at.
We're going
to
review a team today in our 14-team PPR mock that did take Gronk in round one.
In a 14-team
we'll show everybody
league.
What happens when when you go off the edge a little bit.
Yeah, okay. We'll get to that. That's our podcast league. We will talk about that. But this season, we want you to run your fantasy football league your way with the best product you can get, the CBS Sports Commissioner product. You will have instant access to our latest updates and advice. You're going to get exclusive player rewards, including a free draft kit app, discounted team gear, and plenty more. CBSSports.com/play. Sign up for the commissioner. You will not regret it. And once you go commissioner, you never go back. And if you want our awesome draft guide, over 150 pages of rankings, sleepers, breakouts, busts, cheat sheets, everything you need when you draft, cbsports.com/draft to order our draft guide.
Because you can't print out the podcast and take it with you to the draft.
Exactly.
You can do it with a magazine, though.
Wouldn't it be fun to go to the draft and just listen to the podcast through the whole draft and have headphones on and sunglasses and not talk to anybody?
No.
I think that'd be fun.
That would be kind of weird.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
That's the poker player in Heath.
Just not talk to anybody at all.
Oh,
the whole part of the fun of the fantasy, playing fantasy is the draft and being there with all your buddies.
Just walk in with your sunglasses on, your headphones on.
Can I listen to something besides a podcast?
Sit
Can
down. To, like... And just pretend like nobody else is even there. And just walk up and place your sticker each round.
I'm going to listen to Skrillex.
How many live drafts do you guys do these days with people in person?
Very few.
Yeah.
Not as many as I'd like.
Yeah, I'm at zero.
I'm a little busy this time of year, Adam.
And now I've been kicked out of the auction league, so.
Yeah, well, you're not in South Florida anymore.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, get on a plane, pay for a plane ticket, come down here, I'll even pick you up at the airport myself.
If you guys can wait until like week two, I will be down. if not.
I think you should buy a plane ticket so you can be here in person for a $10 league.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's so fun to auction with people, though. So fun.
It is.
Especially when Dave's the auctioneer. He's a great auctioneer. Injuries, news, and notes. Got a lot of them. Kelvin Benjamin. Also, I want to say that we're going to talk more about PPR strategy and deeper league strategies, non-12-team league strategies later in the show. Kelvin Benjamin, non-contact leg injury, carted off the field.
Not leg injury.
Knee injury.
Knee injury.
Look bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Obviously, tomorrow on tomorrow's podcast, we'll be able to say a lot more about it. So what should we say now about this situation?
Ron Rivera says it's a knee sprain, and he's going to go and get an MRI. We are not out of the woods on it being what it could be. I don't even want to say those three letters because you know how I feel about Kelvin. He's one of my guys. But if there's video out there. You can find it very easily on the World Wide Web, and it does not look good at all. It's a total non-contact thing during drills with the Dolphins, crumples to the ground, teammates kind of huddle around him. It does not appear to be cramping or dehydration, and that's not good.
Well, let's say you're drafting today.
I don't think, Dan,
it's too hypothetical.
I mean, if you're drafting Wednesday, August 19th, 2015, and this is the CBS Sports Fantasy Football Today podcast.
Right.
I'm just doing what you do, Adam. I don't think you can draft him.
You shouldn't be drafting today anyway.
You should
be. If that's the lesson that's learned with Aaron Foster's injury and Kelvin Benjamin's injury, it's, you know, set your drafts for Labor Day.
Well, also, Cam Newton, let's talk about him. If he doesn't have Kelvin Benjamin, does he lose his breakout appeal?
Yes. Absolutely, 100% yes. There isn't another receiver on that team with, you know, I've gone crazy. I've said some crazy numbers for Kelvin Benjamin. I'll dial it back. Let's just say Kelvin ends up being fine and only misses two games. And he finishes the year with 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. Let's just say that that's what happens. I don't think Devin Funchess can get to that number. I don't think that Jericho Cotchery can get to that number. Billy Brown can't get to that number. Cam's going to be in trouble. He's going to have to run more.
Right.
And Greg Olsen is back on the map as a possible 1,000-yard receiver again. I feel like we're right back where we were last year with his receiving core, except this time around, Cam Newton is healthy.
And this time around, where, you know, Funchess was a second-round pick in the NFL draft, and Benjamin was a first-round pick, but probably, just because Benjamin had a really, really good year, it's probably not realistic to expect Funchess to be able to just come in and fill Kelvin Benjamin's shoes.
I think if Benjamin's hurt, long-term, it's what you said, it's going to mean more rushes for Cam Newton, probably more rushing touchdowns. And, I mean, really, you look at last year, he had Kelvin Benjamin, yes. He didn't really throw for any more yards per game than he did in 2012. He threw for a couple more touchdowns on a per-game basis. The thing that really fell off last year was the rushing production.
Until the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I think that was a byproduct of his injuries.
He's gonna have to run the ball.
Greg Olsen or Travis Kelce if Kelvin Benjamin's out?
Ooh.
I think the door is back open on that conversation.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if I'm ready to say Olsen all the way, but I'm kind of thinking Olsen.
In PPR, I would say Olsen.
Mm-hmm.
Is Devin Funchess now the, let me think here. I'm probably forgetting someone, but is he the second rookie wide receiver off the board? Or no, third behind Aguilar?
I would say third.
It really depends on how soon Perryman comes back and Devontae Parker comes back. But he went from a guy who might have been drafted in every league to getting picked in every league. And there's been a lot of positive talk about Philly Brown. I'm not saying Philly Brown's going to end up being 1,000 yards, but I bet there's going to be a couple weeks in daily fantasy where you're going to want to take a chance on him.
LeSean McCoy, 13th overall is his ADP, 8th running back off the board. Hamstring strain, expected to be ready for week 1. The whole Buffalo backfield is a mess right now.
Right, they've got no one who can practice.
So, are we downgrading LeSean McCoy at all?
No, I'm not, but I'm trying to get him so low to the point where I'm never going to be in a position to draft him anyway.
You're just trying to... And I think that you're probably there.
I still have him ahead of DeMarco Murray. And now I'm talking about two running backs that I want nothing to do with this year. I might end up taking Murray over LeSean McCoy.
Why don't you want McCoy? I understand the drawbacks of Murray, but what's your drawback? What are your drawbacks for McCoy?
I think that last year was telling that he couldn't get going and figuring out his way north. And now he's on a team that's going to potentially overuse him. And here he is not practicing with a hamstring injury. He just strikes me as a running back who could get off to a very nice start and then struggle terribly for like 10 weeks.
I think the nice thing about the hamstring injury is that you're probably not going to injure your hamstring running 3 yards into 11 defenders.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine.
But you can injure something else.
Can't imagine why anybody defensively playing against the Bills would do anything but stack the box. And I can't understand the LeSean McCoy over DeMarco Murray argument, if only because I think talent-wise we agree they're pretty close.
Yeah.
Sure. And Philadelphia's offense is going to score.
They're both run heavy.
Philadelphia's going to score a lot more points than the Bills.
Fine. But is DeMarco Murray going to be responsible for a ton of those points? Or is he really going to be in a silly timeshare with Ryan Matthews? Because they look at them as 1 and 1A.
Right.
Maybe 1 and.
But we're talking about a team.
2A plus. You know what I mean? Are like they going slightly.
Are they going to run 50% more plays than the Bills?
No.
Oh.
50% more plays over the course 30, of the year?
30%?
No. You're talking about like 300 plays.
You're talking about Rex Ryan. Who's going to do everything he can to take as much time off the clock because he doesn't have a quarterback that can throw the ball.
Mm-hmm. And now you got me thinking. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm going to go look and see how many plays Philadelphia ran last year and compare it to how many plays should we do how many the Jets ran last year or San Francisco ran last year.
That's tough.
I mean, I don't really
We can cross-reference them.
I don't really buy the Seahawks were the 10th highest scoring team in the NFL last year. The Eagles scored 5 more points per game than the Seahawks.
That's almost a touchdown more per game.
And LeSean McCoy was nowhere near as good as Marshawn Lynch.
Okay. But both of those offenses were good.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the Bills offense is probably going to be one of the bottom 5 in the NFL.
How about the Bengals? The Bengals were middle of the pack. They were the 15th.
That's not the same as one of the bottom 5 in the NFL. How about the Jaguars?
Oh, the Jaguars were terrible, obviously.
Okay.
Well, the Raiders were 31st, and we like Latavius Murray. I mean, right. We don't like him in the same range.
We don't. Yeah, it's not the same conversation.
I guess I see what you're saying, but could still. It's an interesting look on. I never thought about that. But the Eagles scored 29.6 points per game. The Bengals scored 22.8.
Okay.
Pretty big gap, but I like Jeremy Hill. Everybody likes Jeremy Hill better than McCoy, or than Murray.
Right, because it just feels a lot safer.
Except McCoy. Not everyone does, because McCoy's being drafted ahead of Jeremy Hill.
The San Francisco 49ers ran 957 plays last year.
Okay.
The New York Jets ran 1,005 plays last year.
Okay.
The Philadelphia Eagles,
yeah,
1,095. So it's a 10% bump, 10% but not a 30% bump.
Okay.
I can buy into the 10% bump, but I can also buy into DeMarco Murray not being a ball hog to the same degree that he was last year.
I think DeMarco Murray might get 65% of the running back touches.
Well, interesting stat, guys. Interesting stat because Chip Kelly did say there is validity to the concerns about DeMarco Murray's health. He did acknowledge that. Football Outsiders, I saw this in a blog on our website, Football Outsiders said the average running back with 370 or more regular season carries, or 390 including the postseason, will see their rushing yardage decline by 35% and their yards per carry decline by 8%.
I would just say that Chip Kelly was so concerned about DeMarco Murray after that many carries that he went out and gave him $40 million.
I agree that that's weird that he did that. I can't control how the Eagles spend their money. I don't know why he did that.
When they could have,
you know, piled on a few more dollars for Frank Gore and paired him with Ryan Matthews, which I think was plan A. And then they realized, well, Gore's gone. We need somebody because we can't have just Ryan Matthews. And so they had to pony up for DeMarco. It's the whole thing is weird, but it all started with them trading away LeSean McCoy.
Well,
and I'm still going to stand by this. That's a team that loves to run the football. They need great running backs. If that's the case, why did they trade LeSean McCoy? Especially since they gave the money that they were going to give McCoy.
Because Chip Kelly doesn't like him personally. I mean, that could be a motivation for a lot of the moves. Chip Kelly wants clubhouse leadership.
Yeah, maybe he couldn't get through to LeSean.
It's possible, but
so
also.
I'm sure Greg Roman's going to be able to
break
down that wall.
To counter what you said, he's so secure with DeMarco Murray that he went out and signed Ryan Matthews. You know, like if he loved DeMarco Murray that much, you don't go out and sign Ryan Matthews.
You do when you plan on running the football as much as they do.
All right. Well, LeSean McCoy, I don't know if the hamstring injury, is this a big concern?
It's not big, but it's another strike against him.
I think it's a small concern.
Okay. Tom Brady.
I really don't want either of these guys.
The thing is, for me especially, I mean, you can't bump LeSean McCoy down much further, because right now he's being drafted ahead of DeMarco Murray, which I think is ridiculous, and ahead of Jeremy Hill, which I think is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But then there is such a huge gap between those guys and the next few running backs off the board. You're not going to bump McCoy below Justin Forsett or Melvin Gordon, who shouldn't be ahead of Lamar Miller in the first place.
I agree.
All right, then. Let's move on to Tom Brady, guys. He reportedly, according to Adam Schefter, could accept some form of a suspension for failure to cooperate with the investigation. He does not seem to be willing to say he deflated footballs or had anybody do that. But right now, Brady's going in round 7. He's the 11th quarterback off the board. What do you predict happens here? How does it impact Gronkowski, Edelman, Brady, etc.?
I hate the idea that you can get suspended for failing to incriminate yourself. That seems like the most ridiculous idea it could be.
There was an opportunity here for Roger Goodell to stand up and say, as much as we care about the integrity of the game, it is clear that we do not have sufficient evidence. We will begin a study on how the filling of footballs with air is done, mm-hmm. how they're measured, and whether or not weather makes a impact on whether the ball gets a little lighter or not.
Or,
and until then, yeah. I am suspending this. It is crazy, and Tom Brady's suspension is on hold, and he can go play.
Or,
that's what they could have done, and I think everybody would have liked that.
He could have said, after investigating it, we found there's really been no uniform measurement of the air pressure in the ball. It sounds like lots of people have been messing with it. We're going to try have a talk with the rules committee over whether we really even care how much air is in the ball, or if we should just allow teams to continue doing what they want with them.
But okay, now for fantasy. Brady.
I think fantasy, I think everybody knows kind of what's happening.
Well, I don't. I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't think there's going to be a four-game suspension.
We're still drafting Tom Brady with him missing 4 games. Another reason to wait to draft is that you'll probably know more maybe within a week's time, maybe within 2 days' time.
Right now you're saying he misses 4 games?
I don't want to say he misses 4 games, but that's what we're looking at.
I would set the over-under at 2.5.
I'll take
the
under.
I think it's dumb that he's suspended for 1 minute.
I think it's going to be 2 at the end of the day.
Okay, well, that'll just push him up a little
bit. My strategy right now with quarterbacks seems to be, when there's only 2 of Brady, Stafford, and Bradford left, I'm going to take one.
Okay.
Of those 3, once one of those 3 guys is taken, I'll plan on taking a quarterback.
Is Bradford like your 13th best quarterback? Is that where you're putting him?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Like ahead of Carson Palmer, Teddy Bridgewater,
yes.
Jay Cutler, Phillip Rivers.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's because I think there is a good chance that Sam Bradford gets hurt again and finishes below those guys. But I think he's the only one after that Brady cutoff that has the possibility in that offense to all of a sudden be a top 5 quarterback.
Tannehill or Bradford?
I've got Tannehill ahead of that group of quarterbacks.
Okay. So he's kind of like 14th for you, Bradford, then? Or is there somebody among the quarterback ranks
that's
you're just
what
absolutely
I'm thinking,
like not like
lower than everyone else?
Right, like a Brady or an Eli, Russell Wilson.
I would say it's probably Eli.
Oh, I love Eli.
I know you do. I know you do.
I actually was deciding yesterday between Bradford and Eli in our 10-team league, and I took Eli. And I think I took Bradford later, actually. I think I took them both.
I think it's starting to become a very smart plan to wait even longer for quarterbacks. Because think about all the names that we've just ran off. Manning, Stafford, Tannehill, Palmer, Bridgewater, Bradford. And throw Phillip Rivers in there too, because it's just a big party. And if you can walk away, and I guarantee you can walk away with 2 of those guys on draft day,
mm-hmm.
and you play the matchups, that means that you've spent all your earlier picks on other positions, and you'll be able to still fill a good lineup each week with a quarterback with 20-point potential. And that's what we've got. And Bradford is certainly looking like a guy with major, major upside, provided he can stay on the field for an extended period of time.
Joik Bell is expected to be the Detroit starting running back when he returns. That's according to the Detroit Free Press.
The silliest silliness I've ever heard in my life.
What do you mean?
Okay, Joik Bell has pretty much done nothing this year. This is just a coach saying the veteran is going to be our starting running back whenever he's ready. But if Joique Bell gets ready and it turns out he's lost a step.
Oh, then he's done.
He's not the starting running back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So no one really knows if Joique Bell is going to be starting running back. They're just trying to, this is trying to keep a locker room happy. Oh, the veteran guy is going to be the starter.
Well, look, his ADP, Joique Bell, right now is 54th. And in the podcast league, 14-team PPR, I got him 70th. And I got criticized
for it. And no one wants
to
touch him because he hasn't done anything.
I do. I absolutely do. If
you
I can
get
him.
Touch Joique Bell.
I love touching Joique Bell. If I could get him 70th overall for a guy who I believe that, yeah, maybe just that's coach speak and you're not just going to hand Amir Abdullah the starting job. I believe that he's going to have the opportunity to have a role. Because Joique Bell was very productive in fantasy last year. He really
yeah,
was.
I don't think there's any argument about him having a role. And it's what I've been saying all along about Amir Abdullah and why I'm trying to not get too carried away with Amir Abdullah. Because, I mean, I like a lot of his game and I like a lot of what his potential is. But this is an offense predicated on using two running backs.
Mm-hmm.
They want two. Right. Sometimes they might use three.
Yeah. So, but
you just, you know, if Joique Bell comes back and he seems about the same as he was last year, then everybody who's reaching for Amir Abdullah is going to feel bad about it.
All
but
right,
if he
a few
comes
more
back
notes,
and
guys.
He's gimpy, then Amir Abdullah is going to clean up.
A few more notes here. Devontae Parker off the PUP list.
Well, let's see if he can start practicing soon.
Marcus Wheaton, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, expected to start over Martavis Bryant.
Yeah,
starting
according to Ben Roethlisberger a month ago, that was the same thing.
Yeah.
I still think Martavis is the much better fantasy bet.
Yeah, that I'm sure you won't get any argument, but should we be drafting Marcus Wheaton? You know, is he a late round flyer just in case Ben Roethlisberger was right?
Should we be? Possibly. Am I? No. I don't really have. I mean, unless we think that Ben Roethlisberger might be like the number one fantasy quarterback this year, but somebody has to score touchdowns, and Le'Veon Bell is going to score a bunch of touchdowns.
Antonio
Brown is going to score touchdowns. Martavis Bryant, that's all he does is score touchdowns. I don't know, unless the Steelers are all of a sudden going to be one of the best offenses in the, like top three in the NFL, I don't know how Marcus Wheaton's going to score touchdowns.
Wheaton was a good receiver in college.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually very good. I enjoyed watching his film. But he just, it's taken him so long to get to this point. And I don't mind a late round flyer on pretty much anybody, and that includes Wheaton, but I can think of a lot of other receivers that I would take ahead of him.
Pittsburgh had the 7th best offense in the NFL last year, 7th most points scored. Bruce Arians, Cardinals head coach, says the Arizona running back competition is wide open.
Do you believe him?
I think Ellington is clearly the guy, but I think they're, like we talked about yesterday or whenever that was, Chris Johnson's got a chance to be relevant.
I am going to say something with which I have no backing, no reason other than just wild speculation. So let that be known.
Go ahead.
Is it possible that maybe Bruce Arians would like for one of his running backs to show that they're cool with playing when they're dinged up and playing well when they're dinged up and maybe doesn't think that he yet has a tough enough running back to be a lead running back?
Yep. Or does he think he's got three guys that are all sort of the same and he's going to mix and match as the season goes on? So he'll ride Ellington until Ellington can't go. And then he'll do some sort of combo platter with Chris Johnson and David Johnson. And then when one of them break down, he'll just go with who's ever left.
Well, okay. Heath, you had mentioned how Chris Johnson had finished top 12, you know, basically year after year. Toward the end, though, it was a lot of just, he played 16 games and got a lot of opportunities. You know, he stays very healthy and sort of backdoored his way into being a default top 12 running back, but on a per game basis, not somebody you really loved starting. And I can't really see him having a big year, could you?
I can't see him having a big year, no, but when you're talking about somebody that you might draft in the 12th round, what's a big year?
Yeah, I see your
point. If he helps you on your bye week win a game when you don't have a running back twice, that's a pretty big year for a guy I got in the 14th round.
Okay, so I think we're pretty much done with the news. And just one other thing, Devin Funchess has a hamstring injury, but seems like it's just a day-to-day thing right now.
Happened the exact same practice as Benjamin's.
What a lovely practice for the Carolina Panthers.
Oh.
So a bad time of the year.
Tom's Heath.
Bad time of the year for the Carolina Panthers. Good time of the year for fantasy football players. And now is the time to start signing up for FanDuel, because we have an awesome offer for you. If you click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use our code CBSPOD and sign up now. And every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. So that's if you use that offer code CBSPOD. What is FanDuel? It is one-day fantasy football. You get a budget. Every player has a price. It's not real money. Every player has a price, and you try to make your optimal lineup based on the prices. Of course, we're going to help you out throughout the year. And FanDuel is paying out over $75 million a week this football season. You can sign up for just $1. So that's, it could be as cheap as $1. You can play in big tournaments with thousands of people. You can play in 50-50s where, say, 100 people are in it and half of you win some money. A lot of cool things you can do on FanDuel. I encourage you to sign up now and check it out and start playing. All right, Podcast League. In addition to being a great commissioner, I didn't really like my team that much. I like it better now as I have Funchess.
That's what's made it better for you.
Well, honestly, that was one of my last picks, and my wide receiver depth isn't great. It was round 10, first pick of round 10 in a 14-team draft. So, yeah, I think in a 14-team PPR league, I think Devin Funchess just became a lot more valuable.
Sure. I have the worst team name I think I've ever had in any league ever. What's your team?
Let's go over that, yeah.
Chris Towers was doing a review of the draft, and he came to me yesterday afternoon, and he said, Heath, I'm getting ready to publish this, or send it to Jamie to be published, whatever happens there. And you're the only person in the league that doesn't have a funny or creative team name. Your name is Heath Cummings in all caps.
He actually posted our team names on the site.
I don't know.
I don't know if he should do that.
Okay.
Well, you don't think Trampoline Farts is going to go over well?
I think that was a good name.
I do too.
And so I was thinking and thinking and trying to come up with a pun. And I ended up going, I have Carlos Hyde on my team, who is another guy that I like a lot and I've talked about a lot this year. And so I went with Hyde and Fleek.
That's okay.
And I've never used the word Fleek. Apparently it's a thing the kids say.
What's it mean?
Perfect. Awesome. Wonderful. So my team is Hyde and Fleek.
That's good, actually.
So your team is awesome and perfect and wonderful, and it's got Carlos Hyde.
Yes.
I haven't changed my team name from last year. Neither has Dave.
I'm not changing it. Dave's sticking with it. I do have a new logo.
Andy Reid's pants.
Yep.
I think that's an okay. I'm trying to look here. I don't see so. No. No. Meh. I don't think I see any names that are not okay for publication.
I don't know.
There may be one that I should Urban Dictionary because I don't know what it means, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be. Mine is Runaround Sue, S-U-H, which is actually, I think, a very good team name because you have to, you know, he's a defensive tackle. You're supposed to run around him, but Runaround Sue, ha 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 ha. I had the 14th pick. Hyde and Fleek had the 11th pick. Jamie had the 12th pick. And Dave co-owned his team with Alex, and they had the 6th pick.
He's not known as Alex. He's known as Limericky.
Limericky Williams.
Oh, man, there was some outrage over the
Limericks. I thought it was Limericky Davis, but what do I
know? Either way.
Limericky Davis.
So, anyway, first round, won't go through everything, but Peterson went number one, Bell, Jamal Charles, Eddie Lacy, and then Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski, 5 and 6 in this PPR draft. Matt Forte, Marshawn Lynch, Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, Julio Jones to Heath, CJ Anderson to Jamie, Odell Beckham, and then I took Jeremy Hill to finish out round one. What do you think about Peterson, Bell, Jamal Charles, Eddie Lacy, and then we had Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski. This was PPR, so what'd you guys think of only 4 running backs off the board before we get a receiver and a tight end?
I think it should have been 3.
Oh, yeah.
I like all the picks there except for Adrian Peterson first overall.
Yeah, you're on a lonely island with that.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm not saying you're wrong.
Right.
Because you've got your opinion. I want you to stick with your opinion.
Right.
And I have an interesting question for you.
Okay.
When's the last time, and you're going to like this.
Yeah.
When's the last time a player took a year off of football,
mm-hmm.
not because of injury,
right,
came back and dominated?
I think I got tweeted this one, so I'm going to cheat. I think I know the answer. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
I believe the answer is Ricky Williams.
How long did it take Ricky Williams to come back and play effectively?
He was really good that first year back, wasn't he?
No.
No?
Okay. Remember he came back and had that game with the Dolphins against the Steelers and he got hurt in the game.
Oh, okay.
It took him 17 games.
Okay. So I do like that better.
That's a strike against Adrian Peterson.
How good was it, Ricky Williams before he took that season off?
He was pretty dang good.
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, I know he had
led the NFL in rushing one of those years.
Ricky Williams was amazing.
I meant the specific season.
He was magical
before.
For fantasy.
Okay. On the Dolphins, maybe. I don't think he was ever as good as Adrian Peterson.
No, but that is a pretty interesting stat.
Okay.
I've been told that basically by a couple of podcast listeners that I'm going to be judged solely as a podcast analyst, as a writer, solely
as a human being.
As a human being, solely on two questions. Is DeMarco Murray better than Adrian Peterson?
Mm-hmm.
And is Carlos Hyde better than Darren Sproles?
Nothing about Kelsey in there.
No, just those two things.
Better than Darren Sproles.
If those two things go my way, then I'm good. If those two things don't, then I'm fired.
Darren Sproles? Carlos Hyde, Darren Sproles? You mean Spiller?
Do you mean Spiller than Sproles? Is
yes.
that what you meant?
Yes.
All right. That's okay.
Oh, is
listen, I'm with you on both. No matter, I'll take Hyde over Spiller and Sproles.
Yes.
Maybe even Hyde.
No. But he thinks that Darren Sproles is a better player than CJ Spiller.
No. You're lost, dude. What do you say?
No. You weren't on this podcast. Heath Cummings thinks that Darren Sproles is a better player than CJ Spiller.
I think that Darren Sproles at his peak was a better player than CJ Spiller is now.
That is not what you said, first of all. And I still disagree with that. I still
disagree. We're not arguing Darren Sproles today. He's like 40 years old.
Can we get back to the 14-team league?
Yes, we can. I think we should read our teams. And also any takeaways that you have.
Would you like to talk about the selection of Rob Gronkowski at sixth overall?
Well, yeah. How did it...
I love it.
How did it work out for you?
Well, I really want to talk about this as it was my decision that it was a best player available type deal, and I really wanted to take a tight end because I know that position gets thin quickly, and in a 14-team league, you should just gravitate toward as many playmakers as you can. But here's the truth, and you know this better than anybody, Adam. I've never won the podcast league.
Neither have I.
We've been playing a long time. I've never won. Part of it is maybe done for a reason, and part of it is because I just stink for whatever reason in the podcast league. So if I'm going to play in this league and lose in this league, I might as well experiment. And the decision that Limericky and I made before the draft was, A, we're going to go zero RB. B, we're going to start with a tight end and a quarterback with our first two picks. That's why we traded up to six. That's why we took Gronk in round one, and spoiler alert, we took Aaron Rodgers in round two. And we wanted to see how a team would come together, pushing running backs back in a 14-team PPR. Probably not the type of league to go and try the zero RB theory in,
yeah.
But we did it anyway. We had a fun time, and I'm actually now looking forward to playing in the podcast league and paying attention to it because. This is an experiment all season long.
Let's see the team. You want
my
to read
team
it?
Is Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
My running backs are TJ Yeldon is my one.
Your running backs are
two. Is my two. And then my bench is filled with running backs. Big surprise. D'Angelo Williams, Nile Davis, Kyrie Robinson, Lorenzo Talaferro, and of course, Duke Johnson's going to be on my team.
Okay.
Receivers are Kelvin Benjamin, who's my third round pick. At the time, he had two knees. And Allen Robinson was a guy we reached for. Torrey Smith is our only other receiver on the roster. Gronk is our tight end. Phil Dawson is our kicker. And the Dolphins DST is our DST.
So that team is awful, but it might be good if Kelvin Benjamin were healthy. But even still, I don't think
listen,
it works.
I will fully admit that even if we got great years out of Rodgers, Gronk, and Kelvin Benjamin, we need help.
Yeah. Yeah.
I admit it.
It's lesson
learned.
This was
not the type of league to do zero RB in. I welcome all of your judgments, and I will probably agree with all of your judgments. I think it's hilarious that we have two Jaguars on our team as well.
It's 14 teams.
Technically,
so
we have
tough.
Two 49ers.
All right, Heath.
The kicker is also on the Niners.
You had the 11th pick. And
the only thing I'd say about Dave's team is if I was going to do that strategy, Kyrie Robinson and Nile Davis and those types of guys are the exact type of guys I'm taking.
Like, absolutely.
The guys that if they're really one injury away from being a running back two, at least.
The problem, the flip side to that is those are not necessarily those two are going to be the first guys that we're going to have to cut if we want to pick up somebody off waivers. So let's just say week one, I'm trying to think. Week one, Anton Smith breaks out for the Falcons.
Yeah.
Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman are nowhere to be found. I got to cut one of those guys to go get Anton
Smith.
You
could probably cut D'Angelo Williams.
Well, but I could use him for the first 2 weeks of the season, too,
right,
because Le'Veon's out.
That's true.
Yeah, it might be Taliaferro getting the hook.
Yeah.
So Heath had the 11th
pick. I think you got
pick.
Options as far as cutting people.
We definitely do. They're just not.
That's a good thing to have.
Well, actually, no, you don't want to have
options. I know.
I'm
just kidding.
You've got a good, deep roster.
Okay.
Julio Jones was your first
pick. Is interesting.
We'll be the judge of that.
I had Julio Jones, my first-round pick, and DeMarco Murray is my second. Everyone's shocked by that.
Where'd you pick first round again?
I picked 11th.
Okay.
So at quarterback, I've got the combination of Sam Bradford and Tom Brady. I saw Adam Pfeiffer do that in our IDP league, and I thought, you know, that looks like fun. I think I'll try it.
I loved it. That was great.
At running back, I've got Carlos Hyde, DeMarco Murray, Arian Foster, and James White.
And that's it.
I think you have a great team, by the way. I'm just going to say that.
Well, let him finish going through it before we all.
No, it's so good. He doesn't even need to go through the rest of it. It's so good.
Wide receiver, Julio Jones, Andre Johnson, DeSean Jackson at the flex. I love that. Philip Dorsett, maybe my number three wide receiver by the end of the year. And Michael Crabtree.
Crabtree's the thing.
Crabtree is kind of a thing. Tight end, I got Jordan Cameron, I think in the 7th, and I really, really like him at that point. Because the 7th and a 14 team at the end of the 14th team is basically the 9th. Maybe not, but it sounded good.
Mm-hmm.
No, Bengals has a defense. They start off with the Raiders in week one.
That's going to be a good DSD, by the way.
Yeah, I think
I totally underrated them until about a week and a half ago when I was in Cincinnati. They are good,
yeah,
and they are deep.
Yeah,
they have good depth.
I think Dunlap is a guy at defensive end that gets way underrated in IDP leagues.
He will make you feel like a small human being when you see him in person, mm-hmm, and you are a tall human being.
I am. He's bigger than me.
Adam will feel like he's like a Smurf or something.
Could he hold Adam in his hand, like arm extended?
I think he could take two fingers and tell Adam, step on my fingers, young child, and Adam could put his left foot on one finger and right foot on the other, and he can like lift him up to his shoulder. And Adam can sit on his shoulder, like a cartoon bird.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they could like go to get brunch together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. So I'm going to read.
You like brunch, right, Adam?
I love brunch. Okay. I'm going to read Heath's team again.
Cause you're paying for Dunlap.
You're reading my team again?
Yeah, because.
You do a good job?
Look, if you're looking at it, see, this is the thing. I listen to the podcasts and I know that a lot of times when we read teams, it's very easy to forget. Plus, you know, it was very interrupted. So, Sam Bradford and Tom Brady, Carlos Hyde, DeMarco Murray, with Arian Foster and James White on the bench, Julio Jones, Andre Johnson, DeSean Jackson, Michael Crabtree, and Philip Dorsett, Jordan Cameron, and the Bengals and and Matt Bryant. So, your only weakness is until Foster comes back, you have no running back depth behind Hyde and Murray.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. In a PPR league, I think James White could be a fine bye week replacement. And I don't have a bye week until week 8, which was also part of my strategy of taking Foster. I think that's maybe a 50-50 shot that he's back in time for DeMarco Murray's bye.
Okay. Hey, look, I think you have a great
team. Not if he's
team.
On short-term IR. He might be back for Carlos Hyde's bye. And that's interesting. That's a real interesting approach. I haven't heard that.
Now, personally, I don't really like Hyde or Murray that much. But... chalk it up.
I think there's concerns with both of them.
Chalk it up to I could easily be wrong about that, and I think Heath did a great job drafting.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And my team, with the 14th overall pick. So, you know, as I mentioned with Heath, doesn't really have running back depth, in my opinion. I fear having no running back depth, and especially in a 14-team league. So that was sort of behind my strategy, and I don't know that it ended up being a good one. But anyway, I have Eli Manning and Carson Palmer. Jeremy Hill, Latavius Murray, Joik Bell, and Jonathan Stewart. Calvin Johnson and Nelson Agholor with Devontae Parker and Devin Funchess on the bench.
Three rookie receivers.
Potentially be potentially one of them as a flex in this format. And tight end, I drafted Dwayne Allen and Antonio Gates. I might have even drafted Gates first. Pretty late. So I feel like I just need to survive the first 4 weeks, and then I'll at least have a startable tight end for sure. And I have the Browns DST because they open against the Jets.
So you immediately go in knowing that you're going to have to drop someone from your bench before week one.
Why?
He doesn't have a tight end.
Yeah, he does. He's got
Dwayne Allen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So again,
he doesn't have to do it.
Eli Manning.
I think that's kind of a cool thing to do in a 14-team PPR. Like, it's heady because you could have just taken Gates and said, all right, I'll cut somebody before week one or
right.
I'll do something somewhere or I'll get whoever later or Richard Rodgers or Kyle Rudolph later, although Rudolph is gaining steam now too. You made an effort to get a second tight end that had some value. And this is kind of the strategy I've had with Gates all along is you probably are going to be in a position, especially in a league this deep, to trade off one of those tight ends by week four and get something interesting. You can get Allen and pair him with Aguilar, probably get a decent receiver, some sort of improvement there.
Well, and my running back depth, I think I should be able to deal somebody and get a receiver that I might need. But
I like this team a lot.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say when talking about your running back depth is you have four of them, and one of them is Jonathan Stewart. I think we all expect at some point he's probably going to get hurt.
There's only
and
so
the other
much
one's
you can
Joy
do.
Bell, who's hurt right now.
There's only so much you can do, though. You know, it's like
right.
As long as he can piece it together, and we're talking about two guys that don't have to start in his running back slots right away because he's got Hill and Latavius.
Well, the problem with my team.
Your team is very well prepared, Adam.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Okay, last year, the number 15 running back in standard scoring leagues would have been the number 13 wide receiver based on fantasy points. In PPR, the number 15 running back in PPR leagues would have been the number 30 wide receiver last year. Now, it wasn't as dramatic the year before. Le'Veon Bell was the number 15 running back in both standard and PPR. And he was, I think, the number 21 wide receiver, basically. He would have been number 21 wide receiver. But my point is, in a PPR league, I want my flex to be a wide receiver. And unless Devontae Parker or Devin Funchess, much better chance of that now happening, unless one of those guys has a really good year and a good start, I'm stuck with probably Jonathan Stewart, who's not going to catch a lot of passes, as my flex. And I don't know if that's a good thing.
I've heard you talk about this before, and the first time you brought it up, I didn't really have time to process it.
Okay.
What you were saying. And I get what you're saying now, and I get why you're saying that receivers are generally, we all know receivers are helped by the PPR league a lot. But I don't know that you can take this macro statistic and apply it in a micro situation like this. Jonathan Stewart is a great flex in a 14-team league.
I don't know if he's a great flex in a PPR league, though.
What's that?
I don't know if he is in a PPR
league. He absolutely is. There's no question.
He's definitely a strong contender for the flex, if not the number two running back spot in a 14-team PPR.
I mean, one of the biggest arguments you and I ever had on this podcast was when you called me stupid for taking a second tight end so early in a league where we had a flex.
Right.
Because then you could never have a tight end as your flex.
Well, I don't know if I said never, but I don't think I'd ever want a tight end to be my flex.
If you have the fifth best tight end or the third best tight end in the league as your flex, he's better than whoever your options were going to be as a receiver to be your flex.
Well, how would you feel about having the 30th best wide receiver being your flex?
I think that would be fine because the top 28 receivers should be gone for everybody's top two. So if you have the 30th wide receiver, you have one of the best flexes in the league.
All right. Well, then I like my team better by your logic. And I like it better now because of the Funchess situation.
Do you think I'm not making any sense?
No, you make a ton of sense. I actually don't know how this is going to play out. It'll be interesting. I have not had a lot of success with this league. I think we've done it 4 years. I made the playoffs the first two leagues and I missed the playoffs the last 2 years or the first 2 years and missed the playoffs the last 2 years. I haven't been able to really master this. My opinion on 14-team leagues is they are very health dependent. And there's just not a lot on waivers. Like LeSean McCoy was my first pick last year, and he was terrible for where he went. And how are you going to do well in a 14-team league if you're first-round pick? And for me, that was number two overall, I think. Doesn't have a good year. So that's why I don't really like playing in deeper leagues. But I decided that I wanted to have a stable of running backs to either have some depth in case of an injury or be able to make some trades at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys you want to talk just quickly here. We'll read some emails in a second, but quickly about your strategy in a 14-team league or PPR league. What changed for you in this draft compared to other ones you did? I think we already touched on zero RB, bad for this format.
The general strategy is I want to lean toward getting running backs like you did, Adam. But I also want to try and get as many playmakers as I can. And it's really tough to balance that unless you get running back playmakers. If you're picking early on, you can get one of those running back playmakers. If you're picking late, the receivers are going to be there that you can start your draft with. It's picking in the middle where things get a little iffy. It is a Brown, Gronk, Dez, Demaryius area there. And then when you come back in round two, maybe you have a running back fall to your lap. It's the one thing I like about my strategy. I know that my team's got weaknesses at running back, like, for days. But I like the fact that I've got a stud in Gronk, a stud in Rodgers, a stud in Kelvin Benjamin. This is pre-Benjamin injury, so I'm a little sad over it. But if he manages to come out of this without anything wrong, I'd want to know why and how that happened. And B, I would have a playmaker in Benjamin, too. I do believe that he's that guy. Everybody has work to do on a 14-team league. No one's going to have a perfect team in a 14-team league. It's very hard to pull off. But I play in a 14-team league every year, Adam.
Yeah.
When I win those leagues, and I do, it's because of running back depth.
I felt like, and this is one of the only leagues this year, and we just talked at the top of the show about how I always draft a good tight end. I always get Gronk or Graham or Kelsey, and I didn't here. And one of the reasons was my first six picks were running backs or wide receivers. And I felt like that was really important to get six running backs and wide receivers. And if we get to week 8 or 9 and Arian Foster's playing, I'll put my top six running backs and wide receivers up against anybody.
Cool. All right, let's do it. Emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from Joe in Crosswicks, New Jersey. You guys were talking about John Brown, Allen Robinson, Nelson Agholor, Victor Cruz being good values around rounds 8, 9, and 10. I'm doing a lot of mocks where I'm seeing them go in rounds 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah, it's happening.
So are they good pickups only if they fall, or should I be targeting Brown, Robinson, Agholor, Victor Cruz in rounds 6 to 8 to make sure I get one or two of them?
I feel like it's a little risky going after them in round 6. And I'm a little hesitant in round 7. Cruz, there's no way. I won't take Cruz in round 6 or round 7. I can be talked into Robinson and Agholor before then.
I could take Robinson towards the back end of the 6th, and I could take Agholor in the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And I could take Cruz in the 8th.
Yeah.
John Brown, I'm not quite as excited about as everyone else.
Yeah, Brown for me is still ahead of Cruz, but he's also in that round 8 range. I mean, this is what happens every year. Like, we do all these mock drafts in June and July,
mm-hmm.
and all these guys that are our favorite late round steals or mid to late round steals become mid round picks come August and September.
Antoine Merriweather from Los Angeles. Is it completely ludicrous to draft a top DST before a lower tier tight end? After missing on the top tight ends in many mock drafts, I find it advantageous to acquire an elite DST. What are your thoughts?
I've done it before, but I'm talking about taking a tight end in round 11 and a DST in round 12.
That wouldn't be a top DST before a top tight end or bottom tight end, though. He's saying taking the defense before the tight end.
What did I say?
You said a tight end in round 11 and a defense.
I meant a DST in round 11 and a tight end.
Okay.
In round 12. I'm sorry if I didn't say
no,
that.
Okay. I agree completely. I'm probably not going to take a top defense, but
there's a couple I really like.
Yeah. I mean,
I can get,
yeah,
that I can dig into.
But don't you find it a lot of times those guys go before? I mean, even if you really like the Texans and Seattle, mm-hmm. don't they still go before you would take them?
Yeah.
Usually?
Okay. That's why I end up with Dolphins or
right.
Jets or
Bengals.
And if I miss on them, Colts have a good schedule to start the year. Vikings.
Owen in Chester, Virginia. Dear Art, Ricky, and Gary. I don't know them. You guys are really high on Gronk, but you seem to be ignoring the injury risk. Given the way he plays, his injury history, and the lack of replacement options at tight end, it seems too risky to use a first-round pick on Rob Gronkowski.
And I think a lot of people feel this way about Gronk. And those are the people who aren't going to take him with a first-round pick. It's fine. You're allowed to feel any way you want about him, but guy just played. He didn't miss. Did he miss a game last year?
Missed one.
Because of injury or because it was week 17?
I think it was because it was week 17.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just week 17.
He played 16 games his first 2 years in the league. His third year in the league, he only played 11 games, and he was the second tight end in 11 games.
He's too Lewitsky.
And then he had 1 year where he only played 7 games and didn't finish. But in those 7 games, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to know. Is he still blocking on extra points? If he's not blocking on extra points, then I think your injury worries should decrease a little bit.
So, by the way, Art, Gary, and Ricky. Art, Ricky, and Gary, you guys have a guess? It's football. I wouldn't have gotten it.
Art Monk, Ricky Williams, and who was the Gary Redskins receiver?
It's Ricky Sanders.
Ricky Sanders.
Ricky Sanders. And, yeah, it's Redskins receiver.
Gary Clark.
Gary Clark.
Okay.
From Matt in Connecticut. Dear I.P. Freely. Yes,
you fell for it.
I mean, I just read it. I knew what it was. Can you trade draft picks? Okay, everybody pay attention. This one's a little tricky here, but interesting. Can you trade draft picks when it involves a keeper in a 10-team keeper league? The team picking third and the team picking seventh are swapping their first and second round picks. So the team picking third will move down to seventh and 14th overall, and the team picking seventh gets the third and 18th picks. All right?
So far, so good.
But before this happens, the team picking seventh has already kept Antonio Brown with pick 14 in the second round. With this trade, he will now keep him at the 18th pick in the second round. My understanding is Brown is the 14th pick and cannot move from that spot. Logically, thinking the team originally picking 7th doesn't care where his second round is because he's keeping Brown and is now making him a better keeper value at 18th, and he's moving up to 3rd overall. So
sounds pretty smart. Is there anything in the rules right now that says you can't do this in your league? Your league determines this. If there's nothing in the rules saying that you can't do this, and it sounds like somebody found a way to beat the system.
Yeah, kind of did.
The sneaky way to go around that is to make these trades before you declare your keepers, dumbass.
Kosher? If you were the commissioner, after you stopped the draft to make sure nobody was auto-drafting and you were being really nice, would you allow this or would you veto?
Well, what I would probably do is wait until it was their turn to pick and then stop the draft and then tell them who they should pick.
Not what happened.
Okay.
No, I would
allow it.
Okay.
If there was nothing previously in the rules.
I believe in my keeper league that's been going on for years and years, you cannot do this.
Okay.
Unless you need to trade for a pick that you no longer have. For example, the team I have, and by the way, we're the champions of this league too, just a little humble brag, because
yes,
this is a big time league for me. We want to keep Carlos Hyde with a 5th round pick. We don't have a 5th round pick. So we are going to make a trade to manufacture a 5th round pick. It would make sense if we help somebody else out by trading for their last pick in round 5, and then we're keeping our guy. That will be allowed because we don't have a 5th round pick and we need one.
Mm. I think the most important thing is here, if you don't currently have a rule to address this type of situation, then it should be allowed.
And so the rule should be that you can only keep a player if it's with your original pick in the round, unless you don't have that original pick in the round, and then you must acquire one. That should be the rule for Matt in Connecticut's league.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to end the podcast now. Tomorrow.
Oh, good, because I'm hungry.
Me too. Tomorrow we're going to talk about sleepers and breakouts a little bit, and Friday as well. Maybe some busts we'll throw in there. We'll get all the buzzwords that we need to cover. But we've got 4 emails that I haven't gotten to today. One of them is about Philip Rivers being underrated. One of them is about Matthew Stafford being underrated. One of them is about Darren McFadden. And one of them is about Mike Evans being a bust candidate. We will read those at the start of tomorrow's show. They should be helpful for all of our listeners, not just the people writing in the emails. Keep emailing us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Looking forward to answering questions about Rivers, Stafford, McFadden, and Mike Evans tomorrow. Heath and Dave, well done. Thank you. We'll speak on Thursday.
Yes, sir.
Sounds great.
Really great.
Thanks for the enthusiasm. I'm Adam Azer. Thank you all for listening. Back
Get
tomorrow.
Get well, Kelvin. I miss you.
Bye.